Shalom everyone. Today in the Chabor, I'd like to speak about Birchas HaTorah. Last time we posted on the group a series of sheets in the Siddurot Tratzvilis with Birchas HaTorah followed by Elokai and Neshamash and Satabi. We spoke about the latter bracha. The last Chabor, today I'd like to address the Birchas HaTorah, which begins with the first page in that PDF file, which is labeled page 114. Okay, let's make some introductory comments before we go to the text itself. According to many Rishonim, most famously the Ramban, Birchas HaTorah is a mitzvah min HaTorah. It bases on a Gemara in Masechet Brachos that derives from the Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu states in Parshas Hazinu, Kishem Hashem Akra, Avu Godel Elokeinu. When I call out the name of Hashem, you should give praise to God. So Rashi has a certain interpretation, but others interpret it as follows, which we're going to, as Rav Hashem, speak about later on in this year. Then the Torah is associated with the names of Hashem. We'll have to speak about that later. So when I call out the names of Hashem, meaning when I'm learning the Torah, which is connected to the names of Hashem, before you do that, I will go to Lelokeinu. So give praise to God, in other words, bless Him, and hence the origins of Birchas HaTorah, Min HaTorah. The Ramban, for some reason, didn't understand that Gemara at face value. He understood that it's a rabbinic law, and the drasha is an asmachta, which is a drasha that's made to tie in a rabbinic law into the Torah, but it doesn't really rise to the level of Torah law. It's just an illusion, if you will. But other Rishonim hold that it actually is min haTorah. If so, it's one of two brachos associated with a certain activity, in this case, the mitzvah of learning. In the second case, the birchas hamazon, which is associated with eating. The Birchas HaMazon after eating is also Min HaTorah. There's another bracha of Min HaTorah, it's not really associated with an activity, and that is the bracha of Kiddush. In all cases, even though all of those Min HaTorah, at least two out of the three are Min HaTorah, the biblical obligation would be to say some words connected to the event, so praising God for Torah, thanking Hashem for food, also mentioning Eretz Yisrael and the Beis Hamikdash, and not a topic for now, and Kiddush mentioning Shabbos, and the praising the enormous significance of Shabbos, and praising God for that great gift. But rabbinically, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, and later members of Chazal, ordained the specific texts to be recited. So Birchas HaTorah is quite an important bracha in the hierarchy of halacha. And to just take a quick peek at that on page 114, so right before the beginning bracha, so there's a line above in the Rashi script, right before it says Harini Rotzeh, up above it says Da She Birchas HaTorah, he misses to say Kedi Yisa B'Gemar Brachas. It's a positive commitment, V'Lachein HaMekel B'Zev and Mavarech, and so on and so forth. So one should certainly be careful to say it. And the next line, Harini Rotzeh L'Kayim Mitzvah Seh D'Oraisa. Again, it doesn't actually have to be said, but many have the practice to introduce a mitzvah with an introductory declarative statement that they want to fulfill a mitzvah. I'm just noting that this sitter highlights that idea. In reality, it's a machlokus with a debate whether it's a mitzvah min haTorah or the Rabbanim, but it's certainly a special mitzvah to praise Hashem for Torah study. As we continue to see exactly why these brachos in general, and each bracha specifically, have such significance. Okay, the Gemara and brachos, Daf Yud Aleph and Beis, discusses both over what kind of learning, and does one recite Birchas HaTorah, and what bracha to recite. So we have in that Gemara, three opinions. The opinion of Shmuel is to say, which is our first bracha in the Siddur. One version of that Gemara has the Tzivanu al Divrei Torah rather than Lasok b'Divrei Torah. The standard Nusach Ashkenaz has developed to say Lasok b'Divrei Torah. The standard Nusach Sfarad, if I'm not mistaken, it's also the Minhag Chabad, to say al Divrei Torah. A little more about that later. Then Rabbi Yochanan adds that he would finish. Harevna is Divrei Torah Tzolifinu, which we know is the bracha of a Harevna. We shall see later, there's a machlokas rishonim, whether that second paragraph is really a continuation of the first bracha, which I guess would be the simplest reading of the Gemara, where it says Rabbi Yochanan would finish, doesn't say he would say another bracha, or a bracha instead, but some rishonim maintain, maybe they had a different version of the Gemara, that Rabbi Yochanan actually had a different bracha. And finally, Rav Hamnuna has what we have as the third paragraph, or the third bracha, so we have a total of three opinions as to what to say. Again, Rabbi Yochanan of the Har might be an extension of the first opinion of Shmuel of Latok with the Ritora. But in any case, the Gemara concludes, Hilkach Leminu Lekulu, we should say all of them. And that's indeed the unanimous practice, both among Ashkenazim and Sephardim, to say three paragraphs, Latok with the Ritora, Harevna is the Ritos of Ashina, or Viharevna with a Vav. And finally, Ashabach Abban Mikolamim. So as we mentioned briefly, when we mentioned these three brachos, the Rishonim have a debate as to whether Haravna is an extension of the first bracha, in which case you start from Bracha Hashem, Lakem Acholam, Asher Kedishonu, etc., Zivano Lasok with the Ritora, continuing on to Viharavna, according to that version it should be with a Vav, and because it's continuing the first bracha, and then it goes all the way till the end, Bracha Hashem, Amalame Terolam, Israel. So that's one bracha. Then we have a second bracha, Baruch Hashem, etc., Shabbach Abanu. So a total of two birchos HaTorah. That is the position of Rabbeinu Tam. Again, interesting analysis what led him to conclude that, but we're not going to go into that now. The Rambam and other Rishonim maintain that it's three brachos. The first bracha is Latok with the Ritorah. The second bracha is Harevna. According to the Rambam, you don't need to start with a Vav, because it's a separate bracha, Harevna. See, make the Torah pleasant in our mouth. Ending Hamlamei Torah Lama Yisrael, that's the second bracha. Third bracha, Baruch Hashem, etc., Shabbach Abanu Mikol Ha'amim, ending Baruch Hashem Nosfein HaTorah. One of the differences between those opinions, whether to say the Vav, Viharavna, or just Haravna, Beit Yosef recommends that it's good to stick in the Vav, so this way you'll make everyone happy. Because not putting in the Vav will not make the ones who hold this one bracha happy. But putting in a vav could work with both, because even if it's a bracha by itself, but it could be a vav, because it continues the theme. Somewhat similar to what we have in Shimon Esrei. You have Vili Yerushalayim Ircha, Barachim Toshuv, and Vila Malshinim Alti Tekva, even though it starts with a vav, but actually is a separate bracha. So the standard practice is to say with a vav, both among Ashkenazim and Sfardim. Another nafkamin is what is in Yitzhar Amen, that if you hear someone saying, let's talk with the Rei Torah, should you answer Amen? If it's a separate bracha, then certainly. If it's not a separate bracha, then you're in the middle of a bracha. So hearing that would not necessitate Amen. So indeed, in certain Sidurim, it says once you not answer Amen after that because of that doubt. Okay. Be that as it may, we have a very curious halachic setup here. Because normally, we have a birchas ha-mitzvah, which is recited before we do a mitzvah. And usually it's short and sweet to the point. It goes, Ruch Hashem, etc. We follow with Lekeim al-Cholam. We say, Asher Kedishanu V'Tosim Tivanu. That Hashem sanctified us with His commandments, and He commanded us to do something. So whether it's Lishma Kol Shofar, to hear the sound of a shofar, whether it's L'Hadik Ner Shel Shabbat, or L'Hadik Ner Shel Chanukah, whether it's Albir Chometz, which we just had on Pesach, and destroying the Chometz, or searching for the Chometz, and then eventually destroying it, and so on and so forth. We just also have to say that we have Al-Achilat Matzah, Asher Kedishanu Tosvanu, Al-Achilat Matzah, Al-Achilat Maror, Al-Achilat Lulav. We have a very brief bracha, which always follows the same kind of pattern, Asher Kedishanu Tosvanu. Sometimes we say Lit, to do, sometimes we say Al, on the mitzvah of. But it's not so lengthy, and it's certainly not more than one bracha. Here in Birchas HaTorah, so according to the first opinion, we have two rather long brachos, one beginning, Lasok with the Ritora, moving on to Varevna, and then the second bracha, Shabbach Abanu Mikol Ha'amim, ending with its own bracha Hashem, etc. as well. And according to the Rambam and others, we have three brachos. Why do we have so many brachos over one mitzvah, thus breaking the pattern of normal mitzvot? That's not the only mitzvah like that. According to the Rambam, it's actually the Beit Nevi'im, but the Rambam maintains that the bracha that is recited before marriage is also the nature of a birchat ha-mitzvah, it's a bracha on the mitzvah of marriage. Others hold that it's not a bracha on the mitzvah of marriage, it's a praise to God for the institution of marriage. But the Rambam holds it's a birchas mitzvah, and that's also not an ordinary bracha. We don't say asher kiddushin mitzvah tzivanu lekadesh et ha'isha or ala kiddushin. We have a whole long bracha, which we're not going to go into now, b'zrat Hashem, when the blessed event comes in your lives, you'll see more about that. But that is also a unique mitzvah where there's only one bracha on it. We're not counting the bracha on a cup of wine, which is separate. But it's elaborate. It's not a classic brachata mitzvah. So it would seem that the answer to both questions is that there are certain mitzvot that are so special that, if you will, an ordinary short brachata mitzvah is not sufficient. We have to praise Hashem for the whole concept of what we're about to engage in, whether it's Torah study in the case of Torah study, or whether it's marriage in the case of kiddushin. So, with that in mind, let's just explain a little more about the nature of brachos. The Rambam writes in Hilchot Brachot in Mishneh Torah in the Yad HaChazaka that there are at least three types of brachos in general. There is a birchas hamitzvah, birchat hamitzvah, a blessing that's recited right before we do a mitzvah. Once in a while, there are exceptions where you recite the bracha after you do the mitzvah. Ashkenazim, in terms of lighting, usually a woman lighting candles on preparation of Shabbos, also the bracha on mikveh is also recited after the person dips. Again, the different halachim on that also, that's far to say it before. But generally, bracha to mitzvah, whether before or after, most of the time before, is associated with the performance of a mitzvah. We praise Hashem for commanding us in the mitzvah, and then we do the mitzvah. There's also a birchat hanenin, a bracha on pleasure. So specifically, the most famous of them are the brachos on food, whether it's shakal nevedvaro, or priyayit, or priyadama. And then we have brachos on smell, hanotin reyachtov vaperos, boramir besomim, and so on and so forth. Interesting exploration in the achronim, which pleasures in the world have a bracha, which don't have a bracha. But those are brachot hanenin. And those are also typically recited before partaking of the particular pleasure. And then the Rambam's third category, a more general kind of category of a birchas shevach v'hoda'a, of praise and or thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such as osem ma'aseh breishis, on lightning or even thunder, that bracha is also valid, or shakocho gerosim ola olam, and other such brachos where we praise Hashem. The Rambam writes very beautifully, Asher Yatzar is an example of that, or going to the bathroom. Spoke about that in a previous chabura. The Rambam writes very beautifully that by having so many brachos, we constantly have God awareness. We're constantly thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bringing Him into our lives and being aware of His presence, His guiding hand, whether in terms of sanctifying us with His mitzvot, whether giving us the ability to take pleasure in this world, or the various phenomena that cause us to recognize Hashem's presence in nature, and the miraculous, and the natural, and so on and so forth. There seems to be a fourth category of bracha, birchas hatfila, where we have a prayer that's structured in a form of a bracha, such as tefillat haderech, where we're davening to Hashem for safety, and then we end bracha Hashem shemei tefila. It would seem that the Rambam, for some reason, puts that category into the third. It's a category of shevach v'hodah, where it's a kind of a generic category of things that are not menin and or mitzvah. Okay. That will suffice for that. So the Achronim, when it comes to Birchas HaTorah, because of the fact, first and foremost, that it's very unique, it's a bracha min HaTorah, so might that indicate that maybe this is somewhat unique, and they debate that which category should we put it into? Should it be in the category of Birchas HaMitzvah, or perhaps even, as we shall see in a moment, Birchas HaNenin, or is it a Birchas HaShevach? So, to collapse a very long analysis of many who have weighed in on this topic, perhaps it's fair to say that because of the greatness of the nature of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is so all-encompassing, which is not only a mitzvah in and of itself, and even that needs a lot of elaboration in terms of its essentiality, but it's also the gateway to all of the Avodas Hashem. And just to quote one of many, many, many statements, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Lo Ama Oretz Chassid, someone who is ignorant cannot be pious. One has to know Torah in order to be able to perform mitzvot. Perhaps that's one meaning in the end of the Elul Dvarim that's typically recited after Birkas HaTorah. of Eilu Dereim She'ein Lahem Shiur. At the end we say, the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. That Talmud Torah is parallel to all of them. So among the many meanings of it, some want to say it means it's greater than all of them. Some say it's parallel to, in the sense that you need Torah in order to be able to do all the mitzvot. Chazal say elsewhere, Talmud Mevili Deimaseh, that Talmud is not only a mitzvah in and of itself, it's also a mitzvah that brings to other mitzvot. So because of that over-encompassing nature, all-encompassing nature, I should say, of Torah study, so perhaps that's why Chachamim did not suffice with just one category of bracha. And maybe we could discern within the three brachos, we'll go with the approach of three for now, even though Rabbeinu Tam, one of the chief Ashkenazic posts, can assume it's only two, as we discussed before, but there's certainly like three sub-themes. We start out with a more ordinary kind of birchat ha-mitzvah, which is more parallel to other birchot mitzvah of its kind. Al mitzvah tzitzit, al achilat matzah, al hadik ner shel shabbat, as we spoke about before. But then we move on to other kinds of categories of brachos, skipping for a moment to the asher bracha v'lo mikol ha'amim, v'nosam l'tzoroso. In a word, we are praising Hashem for choosing us from all the nations and giving us His Torah. That's clearly a brachat ha-shevach. We're praising Hashem for that which He gave us. And the fact that He chose the Jewish people as a unique nation. So we have a birchat ha-mitzvah at the beginning and a birchat ha-shevach at the end. And then we have a bracha in the middle. Well, the bracha in the middle, perhaps we could suggest, is a birchat ha-tfilah. That's its nature. We are praying to Hashem to make the Torah pleasant to us. More about that later, but throughout Hashem, when we speak about that bracha in more specific detail. And we pray that we should always be connected to Torah. But, so we have then a birchat ha-mitzvah at the beginning, a birchat ha-shevach at the end, and a tefillah in the middle. So we have all three categories of brachas, and perhaps we could have the fourth as well, the stipler gon, Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, Zatzal, the father of Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, L'Havdol M'Chaim L'Chaim, he should live and be well. So in his Kehilas Yaakov, his commentary on the Gemara, so he has a suggestion that maybe the nature of all the Berachas Torah, I don't think it gets involved in which one to which, is the Berachas Anenin. That we'll see later, there's a very important component of learning that doesn't appear so much in terms of other mitzvot, that it's supposed to be a pleasurable experience. So in that second bracha, we highlight that idea of Hana. Now true, we don't thank Hashem for that pleasure, which is what the stipler seems to be saying is the nature of the other brachot, that we're thanking Him for that pleasure, but there is an emphasis of pleasure. And we pray that we should be able to have that enjoyment and that pleasantness for Haravna. So to put it all together, the first bracha seems to be Bracha Mitzvah, the last one seems to be a Shevach, and the middle one seems to combine the themes of Tzila and Hana'ah. So that what emerges then is that Torah study is so special that we can't just introduce it if you with just one ordinary Bracha Mitzvah. We have to combine all the themes of brachas that Halacha recognizes to some extent in as our introduction to learning. Now, one other theme, just before we get into the brachas themselves, as to why the nature of Torah study is so special, because, and something we'll try to elaborate on more, but something we spent time on in the Olam Haba Shiurim, that Torah, besides being a mitzvah in itself, and besides being a gateway to all the other mitzvos, but ultimately, as we shall see, it's eternity itself. And Torah is connected to Olam Haba. Torah is our, if you will, we could use the mashal of a tzinor, it's our pipeline to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately by connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to connect to the eternity of Hashem, and it's ultimately our gateway is to Olam Haba. And one of the Birchas HaTorah that we don't say in the morning, we say the bracha at the end of an aliyah, we refer to the Torah as Chaye Olam, not to B'tzachenu, they implanted within us eternal life. So we can understand fully why the need for such glorious praise of God before engaging in that wonderful activity. Okay, so to speak a little more about the brachas themselves. So we have the first bracha lasok b'divrei Torah. We mentioned that the Sfardic nosach is al divrei Torah, but focusing on the lasok b'divrei Torah. So we have a very important comment of the Eitz Yosef, again on page 114, the second column, the Eitz Yosef. So starting with the second line, the Katav Ataz, the Perish Lasok, Hainu Shosek, the Pilpul, Umaso, Matan Shel Torah. That it's not just al divrei Torah, it's not just, if you will, a matter of fact on learning, or on matters of learning, or let's say, a bracha of Yitzivanu Lilmo Torah, which is not what we say, but it's not. So why do we say Lasok? Which is like to engage in, it's a rather curious kind of formulation. We don't speak about Lasok with other mitzvahs. So the Taz says that Lasok, again, literally Lasok means to engage in, or sometimes it's a connotation of business. So the Taz says, again, the third line, She'osek bepilpul umasa matan shel Torah, that he's engaging in the analysis and the give and take of Torah. Kemosha katav, or kemosha katuv, I should say, in bechukosai teilechu. This is Parsha, actually, wonderful. That if you will walk in my statutes, and there's a very famous Rashi there quoting our Chazal, Al Menashe Tiyu Amelim Batorah. That if you walk in my statutes, Rashi interprets from our Chachamim, that you should work hard in Torah. Not just learn lightly, if you will, curl up, if you will, with just, you know, a light book, but to engage in intellectually taxing Torah study. And then the Taz continues to say that, you know, those who treat Torah lightly and they only learn Torah when things are enjoyable and so on and so forth and they don't work hard at it, are not going to be able to fully partake of its enormous reward. So Lasok then, we introduce these brachos with the fact that Torah study is not just an ordinary mitzvah, but something we are meant to engage in a very intense way. The way I once heard from a colleague of mine, Rabbi Sol Zucker, colleague of one of the summer camps I taught in, not in the school, that the nature of the mitzvah Talmud Torah is to intellectually bind ourselves to the, so to speak, to the mind, kiviyachol, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most intense way possible. And that would give at least one perspective on the need for intensity of learning, to work hard at it, and trying to figure out the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not just lightly. If so, then this seems to segue into a line that's mentioned by Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah is one of the Rishonim, the cousin of the Ramban, commentary on the Gemara, that in his view, there are two brachos here, a similar to Rabbeinu Tam, and the reason there are two brachos is one is going on the Torah Sheba'al Peh, and one is going on the Torah Shebichtav. So the Tikkun Tefillah, which we are not going to go through, goes with a similar approach to the Eitz Yosef, because the idea of a melus of working hard at Torah seems to be more highlighted when we deal with Torah Sheba'al Peh, with the oral law. Just the simple layer, if you will, of Tanakh does not necessarily necessitate such amilut, such a hard effort. And again, if one is engaging in hard effort in Tanakh, then one is engaging to some extent in the oral traditions, in Torah Sheba'al Peh. So the suggestion that is given by the Tikkun Tefillah is that when Rabbeinu Yonah says one's parallel to Torah Sheba'al Sav and Torah Sheba'al Peh, it's in reverse order. The first one, Lasok with the Ritar, is referring to Torah Sheba'al Peh, because that requires a lot more effort. And the last one, if you will, Ashabach Obanu Mikol Amim, Nosman Osterosso, we speak on Matan Torah. So although that included both, but is focusing more on the Torah Sheba'al Sav, if you will, the Luchos, and eventually the written law that we got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Tikkun Tefillah has a very fascinating suggestion, which I don't want to go through inside now because I want to be able to fit in other things, that perhaps the reason we put the Torah Sheba'al Peh first is because throughout the centuries, various splinter groups of Judaism, illegitimate splinter groups, would constantly claim that only the written law is valid. Now, unfortunately, we've graduated to the fact where splinter groups have claimed that even the written law is invalid, and it's a matter of personal choice whether to keep that which is in the written law. But certainly throughout the centuries, we've had the first kind of heresy, if you will, whether it's the Tzidukim of old, the Baisusim, the Sadducees, the Bosuzians, or later the Karaim, the Karaites, that they were constantly trying to weasel a way out of, if you will, the oral tradition, which of course included much more detail and much more strict adherence to law. So perhaps that's why, and so suggests the Tikkun Tefillah, it was placed first, to put a primacy on it in terms of the fact to be mechazik ourselves, to strengthen ourselves, and the fact that we, traditional Jews, believe in two Torahs, as the Khazari puts it so starkly, both a written law and an oral law. But perhaps we could add, based on the Gemara and Gittin, Daf Samach, that the oral law is of primary significance. Again, Torah Shrosav is certainly important as well, but the primacy of its significance is the Gemara, again, in Gittin, Daf Samach, says that the main covenant, if you will, between Hashem and the Jewish people, the Brit, was made concerning Torah Sheba'al Peh. Much has been said about why that is. Why is the oral law, if you will, the main aspect of the Brit? Al Pi Advar Me'ela, the Gemara points out, Karati Yivchem Brit, based on the oral tradition, an emphasis on the Peh, and not on the Ketav. So one idea that I first learned from Rav Ari Kaplan's work, the Handbook of Jewish Thought, in turn quoting from Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol, one of the Rishonim, the Smag, one of the Baalei HaTosfos, is that Torah Sheba'al Peh was meant to be the unique destiny and, if you will, area of study that only the Jewish people would engage in. The Torah Shebichtav, the written law, to some extent, was accessible to the nations of the world. It was written, you can get a hold of the Torah Shebichtav book, you could translate it, it was translated, even though much needs to be said about the fact that there was a day of mourning declared when they translated the Torah into Greek, ultimately ties into the fast of the 10th of Av, in addition to the other things that happened around that date. But the Netziv, the Rabbi Tali Theodor Berlin, the Rashi Voloshin, points out that the Torah tells us, Rashi quotes in Parshas Kisavo, that the Torah was meant to be translated into 70 languages and written on certain stones when the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael. So it sounds like the Torah Shebichtav, to some extent, would be accessible to the nations of the world. But the Torah Sheba'al Peh, being oral, was never accessible to the nations of the world because it was the unique Rebbe to Talmud tradition. And only members only were privy to that. The Gemara, the Medrash, I should say, points out at the end of days, and this is what the Smag, the Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol, quotes, Hashem, so to speak, will take a Torah in his lap and say, whoever kept this will now get reward. So all the nations claim that they're the real Jews, they kept the Torah, and Hashem asks each one of them, where's the password? And they said, what password? What are you talking about? They said, there's no, so they are pushed away in shame. And finally the Jews are asked, after they say, we kept the Torah, said, what's the password? He says, oh, you mean the Torah Sheba'al Peh? And then they start reciting Me'emet Sikoron Tishma Ba'arvis, the first Mishnah Brachis, and so on and so forth, all the other myriad details that are included in the Torah Sheba'al Peh. And Hashem says, ah, you're my beloved nation, now you get the reward. So, again, much needs to be said about this, about the centrality of the oral tradition, which, if you will, gives the muscles and the limbs to the infrastructure, if you will, the skeleton that's created by the Torah Shebichtav. But this is one of several very, very central features of the Torah Sheba'al Peh, that it's unique connection of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Medrash gives this mashal that it's like a secret limud. In a similar way, the Avodram quotes from Rav Zrachya Levi, who's known in the world of learning as the Baal Hamor. He writes a commentary on the Rif and Gemara, that in his view there are three brachos, and he suggests that they parallel one bracha to Torah Shebichtav, one to the Mishnah, and one to the Gemara. And indeed, right after we say the Birchas Torah, we engage in those three kinds of study. We say Yivrecha Hashem, which is Birchat Kohanim, which is a form of Torah, which is psukim from Torah Shebichtav, from written law. We say a short Mishnah in the Sechta Peah, Elu Dvarim Sheinlem Shiur, Apeah, Vebikurim, etc. And then we have the second Elu, which is a Talmud Yerushalmi, which is a Gemara. The Baal Hamor himself, as Rachi Levi, notes that in the Karbono section of davening, not talking now about why it's so common to skip that, but ideally when people do say that, also has those three aspects of Torah in it. We have a Parshat HaTamid, which is taken from the Torah Shebichtav. We have the Ezel Mekoman, the Mishnayot about Karbonos, which are taken from Sefer Zvachim, which are Mishnayot, Mishnah. And then finally, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, which is a a teaching from the Torat Kohanim, which is considered like a Gemara. So not only do we have these parallels to different brachos dealing with Torah Shavtav and Torah Shavaltev, but also we immediately engage in that kind of study, highlighting both the diversity of Torah study and also its duality of Torah Shavtav and Torah Shavaltev, with a special emphasis, as I mentioned earlier, concerning the Torah Shavaltev and its unique bris that was forged as a result. One final comment on Masoch with the Rei Torah before we leave this bracha. We have a fascinating line also commenting on the uniqueness of the phraseology of Lasok that's mentioned by, I believe, the Eitz Yosef. Let's see if we can find it. Yes. So on the second page, if you will, of the handout we sent, it's entitled numbered page Nun Chet. So in the first paragraph of the Eitz Yosef up top, so we have six lines up from the bottom of that column, which says Eitz Yosef, says as follows, of Sefer Chavot Yair Katav. The first one in the line is a Rivya, the last one in the line is the Lechora. So in the middle it says, of Sefer Chavot Yair Katav, the Lechora Yosar Ayah Ra'u Ilo Ma'arvitz Yivano Lilmo Torah, which would have been a more classic phraseology of a Birchat HaMitzvah. He commanded us to learn Torah. Why do we say Lasok V'Divrei Torah? So again, we quoted the answer of the Taz and the Tikkun Tefillah to engage in Torah, a reference to working hard, and specifically Torah Shebal Peh. Ach be'emet lav kol adam zoche lahavin b'Torah. Chavos Yair suggests another answer, that we don't say to learn Torah because not everyone is zoche to understand the Torah, even if he tries. So Am Rachmana, smach zvolun b'tzitzecha v'yisachar b'alecha. The Torah says, we have this, the brachos of Moshe Rabbeinu to the dual tribes of Zvulun and Yisachar, that Zvulun should be happy and they're going out, and Yisachar in his tents. And the famous drush about this, the Zvulun hispik mizonos Yisachar, that Zvulun would provide food for Yisachar, and Yisachar would be learning Torah, and Zvulun would support him by traveling in their ships, etc. And the Medrash comments, v'ikdim ha-katuv Zvulun Yisachar, that Zvulun actually comes first, because without him, Yisachar's Torah would not be able to take place. And ultimately, we have this partnership. Many well-to-do people partner up with Torah scholars, and they create what's called the Yisachar's Zvulun Partnership, in which the reward, if you will, of the Torah study will be, again, this whole discussion about this in various responsa, will be both partaken of. Whether it's 50-50 or 100-100 is not our topic for now. So, Zez Zechav is Yoyer, quoted by the Eitz Yosef, Mishem Hachi Yomrim Lasok, to engage in, one could even translate that as to engage in a business like partnership. Daf misha osek memaso maton, even one who's engaged in business, imu maspik olom de Torah, if as a result of the income that one earns, so he provides for those who study Torah and teach Torah, sheyuchul lumot, havale kemo maase, it's as if he is causing someone to do a mitzvah. That word there is not maase, but miase. The Gadol Kochem in Osa. The Gemara tells us that greater is the one who causes someone to do a mitzvah than someone actually does the mitzvah. So, a fascinating comment, another interpretation why it says Lasok instead of Lilmo Torah, to allude to the fact that those who themselves are not learning, or not learning, if you will, in the most intense way possible, but they're providing for those who are learning very intensely, so they also share in the reward, and that is also part of the divine commandment, Lasok V'Divrei Torah, to engage in Torah, both by learning it and by supporting it. So perhaps we can suggest, based on this Chavos Yoyer, that this is one of many, many ideas that need to be developed, but just starting now, in terms of a woman's unique role in Talmud Torah. We know that the Gemara in Kiddushin teaches us, V'imadatem es b'neichem, lo'os m'noseichem. Those who are listening perhaps have studied this before. Some of you perhaps in Michelle's class, Ishav HaMitzvot, that technically women are exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The fathers don't have to teach their daughters. The women don't have to learn on their own. As we shall see at the end of the class, those who haven't studied this before, that's really not quite true in the blanket statement that I just stated, but they're certainly not obligated, if you will, to go through shas. Whereas a man, at least theoretically, is obligated. So what then is a woman's connection to Torah if not through study? So perhaps we can suggest, and again, this is an old idea, but just with a new twist in terms of the Chav is Yor's interpretation of Lasok, that just like a person of means can use their assets, their physical assets, in order to be able to foster and to create Torah, so too a Jewish woman, through her role as a spouse and mother, also, even without a single penny, creates and fosters Torah. They too become, if you will, a mi'aseh, one who causes one to learn, and not just an oseh, one who does. As we saw before, greater is the one who causes than even the one who does. And this, as many suggest, is one of the many meanings of the old verse, the biblical verse of Ezer Kenegdo, of Chava being known as a helpmate, parallel to the man. One of the many aspects in which that takes place is by fostering the husband and the children's Torah study. Again, much more needs to be said about this, and also about the current state in which additional opportunities than in the past, much more so than in the past, of women actually engaging in Torah study itself in various frameworks. And again, now it's not the topic to discuss in terms of scope and what should be learned by women nowadays, and should there be a distinction between a woman's curriculum and a man's curriculum. But the fact that a woman is exempt from at least certain aspects of Torah study is certainly remarkable and requires analysis. But one certainly has to stress the unique role of the Jewish woman in being osek b'divrei Torah, if you will, in the words of the Chav is Yor, in fostering her family's connection to Torah. And in so doing, she's acting selflessly, where even when she herself is not learning, she is giving of her time and effort to see to it that others are able to achieve their mitzvot. And in so doing, she not only shares in their reward, but there are sources that indicate, and Chav is Yor alludes to this here in terms of the man of means, if you will, get even more reward than the ones who are actually doing the mitzvah. And so doing is similar to a kohen in the mikdash, where they, if you will, foster kapara, they foster atonement. Also, if you will, a public servant in the sense, but certainly not a lowly servant, but a very noble one who serves, and in so doing, elevates not only the one that they do serve and gives them an availability and an opportunity to achieve high heights, but they themselves grow great through doing that. Wanted to discuss a little bit of the second bracha. We turn now to page 116, which is page 3 in the handout that we gave. And it begins Harevna or Viharevna. So wanted to comment a little bit on this idea. Again, Harevna is a request in the Hifil form, if you will. We ask Hashem to make the Torah pleasant, to make it sweet, similar to what many say in Anam Zmiros. The last line of Anam Zmiros is Ye'eravna Sichi Alecha, that may my words, we ask Hashem, may it be pleasant to you. So this idea of a Harevna, if Yosef, again, right there at the beginning, points out that, very quickly, Harevna Hashem, Hakavana Deisav Sanhedrin, the intent of this asking Hashem to make Torah sweet, so it says in Sanhedrin, quotes a pasuk, nefesh amal amlalok yikafal alav piyu, not directly translating it now for time constraints. So the Gemara states, hu amel b'makom zeh v'torasso amel eslo b'makom acher. He works in one place and the Torah works for him in another place. Upirish Rashi, hachozer ala Torah tadir, nasit lo sedura b'fiv. One who constantly reviews Torah so it becomes arranged in his mouth, if you will, he remembers it. The Torah amel eslo shemachazeret alav. The Torah works for him that it constantly seeks him out. The word mechazer could not only mean return, but also to seek him out. Umevakeshet me'et kona. And the Torah, so to speak, requests of its creator. Limsar lo tame Torah. Mipnei she'ikaf piu al divrei Torah. In other words, the person who works hard at learning, as we spoke about before, the idea of lasok, and constantly reviews, and is able to achieve a state where they remember their Torah, So that person is zocha, achieves to have things that they wouldn't have ordinarily been able to understand or be able to achieve and to get to revealed to them. The idea of tamei Torah, reasons behind mitzvos, or upirish b'chdusha agadot shemegalano rozei Torah, even the secrets of Torah, presumably a reference to the hidden wisdom, to Chochmas HaKabbalah. So Lezem is Falin Veharevna, to make it sweet. Atheosic seems to refer to the idea that the concept of sweetness of Torah is like the inner dimension of Torah, which is the most intense Torah possible, and there's nothing like that in the world. So we ask Hashem that to bring us to a level whereby with our efforts we should be able to be zocha to that kind of sweetness of Torah. But on a somewhat different plane, and different way of... So again, in a somewhat different way, perhaps we could suggest the following. There was a famous rabbi by the name of Avraham of Sochachov, Sochachov Rebbe, wrote several svarim, among them the Sefer on Hilchot Shabbat called Eglei Tal. And in it he writes the following, that anyone who has experienced intense Torah study realizes that there's a sense of hana'ah, pleasure that's associated with it. And this is something we have in Tehillim mentioned many, many times, the idea of the sweetness of Torah. So the Eglei Tal writes, and he proves this from various Gemaros and Sukkim, that one shouldn't think that when one enjoys the learning that somehow that takes away from what this bracha actually speaks about, Yodei Torah Sechel Lishma, Lomdei Torah Sechel Lishma, that we should be those who study the Torah for the sake of heaven. So lest you think, and he writes that there were those in his day who thought so, and he thinks that they're wrong, that when you enjoy the learning, that somehow detracts from its being for the sake of heaven, because then it's for your own enjoyment. And the Eglei Tal writes that that's just not true, because the nature of the mitzvah is to take pleasure in the learning. In the language of one of the Rishonim that he quotes is Lishtashea b'dvar Hashem, literally to delight in the words of God. He quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, if he doesn't, it's very appropriate, Lulei Torotcha Shashuai, has been made into a few songs, that if not for the fact, David HaMelech says, that your Torah was my delight, Ozavadati Ba'anya would have been lost. And many, many of such other phrases, especially in Perikuf Yotet, that speak about the sheer delight in learning. And just to give a little taste of that, if you will, many, many sources can be produced on concerning that topic, that the Tanchuma, Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Kisavo, paragraph Dalid, on the verse that says, in Shema Tishma, double language, if you hear. So it comments that if you listen to the Torah, if you study the Torah in this world, you'll be zochah to study the Torah in the next world, from Hashem, in the heavenly academy, if you will. What does that mean? Torah in the next world? I thought we only do mitzvahs in this world. So in the next world, we get, you know, reward, the divine radiance. But there are many midrashic sources, and especially Kabbalistic sources, that speak about how part and parcel of the pleasures of the afterlife our intense knowledge of God, if you will, the inner dimension of the Torah that we study in this world. And this is alluded to by the fact that the Eitz HaChaim, which is of course a reference to Torah as well, Eitz HaChaim Yilam HaChazikim Bo, right in Gan Eden, the lower garden parallel to the upper garden, the Eitz HaChaim in the inner way is in the inner dimension is our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By studying His wisdom, by connecting to Him through His wisdom, we are able to partake even more of that, and that pleasure of Olam Haba, of Gan Eden Shalmala, again, we spoke about the difference between those two terms in Olam Haba class, but not for now, is very much interconnected with Torah. So Torah is not just a mitzvah. It's eternity itself. Now we could add, Torah is not just a mitzvah. It's the pleasure of eternity itself. And what the Eglei Tal points out, and this bracha seems to highlight very much directly, that pleasure is meant not only to be partaken of in the afterlife, but even in this world. And that's why we ask Hashem that's not so easy to get to, because not everyone finds Torah study so pleasurable. So we ask Hashem, V'harevna, please allow us to feel that hana, not only in the afterlife, but even in this world. We spoke about earlier about a woman's unique role in Torah study, and how even if she's not obligated in Torah study per se, but she certainly partakes of Torah study by facilitating it, even if she's not learning herself. So one would expect that the eternity of Torah should apply to women as well. Namely, if we spoke about the fact that Torah is part of the afterlife, that a woman who facilitated that should also get that. So indeed, I was happy to discover, and we spent a lot of time in this in the Olam Haba class, that there's a passage in the Zohar HaKadosh. One of the Talmidim, Rabbi Soloveitchik, wrote this up. I forget his name, and a sefer called Efne Veshne, which I saw on my father-in-law's shelf, which I borrowed, and I saw this passage, and I found it exactly hit the nail on the head, because one would expect that even though women are not obligated in Torah studying this world, but nonetheless they partake of the inner dimension of Torah in the afterlife. It speaks about the various women who lead those various batei medrash, if you will, for women, whether it's Yocheved and or Batya, Dvora, and so on and so forth, or the Imohos, which we're not going to get involved in now, those specifics. So even though women are not chayev to learn on their own, again, we spoke about earlier that much needs to be said about that because that's not quite as true in terms of as a blanket statement, but they're certainly connected to Torah and certainly partake of the eternity of the Olam Haba Torah that is inherent within that experience. As Rabbi Willick pointed out, even more so than the men, based on the Gemara and Brachos, because they facilitated the Torah and were engaged in activities, if you will, that perhaps were not as glorious, but nonetheless were equally, if not more, as we mentioned earlier, significant. Again, just to end this unit with the beautiful words of the Aruch Chaim, again on Parshas Kisavo, that Ein Tov Ela Torah, Shem Hoyu Bnei Adam Argishim B'Mesikus V'Arevus Tov HaTorah, Hoyu Mishtagim U'Mislatim Achareha, Velo Yechoshev Beineim Malo Olam Kesev Ezav L'Ma'uma, Ki HaTorah Koleles Kol HaTorah V'Sheba Olam. Someone recently made that into a song. That there's no good except for Torah. And if people would only feel the sweetness and the pleasantness of the goodness of Torah, they would go crazy and they would be wild after it. And nothing else in the world, whether gold or silver or any other pleasures in this world, would be considered as anything, because the Torah includes all of the goodness in the world. I think nothing needs to be stated after those beautiful words of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Hashem Yitzvakeinu to always feel that and sense it. We don't always get it, though. So I think the mashal that we have in the Torah about the fact that sometimes you have to overcome a certain bitter hurdle before you get to the sweetness is very relevant, if you will. Where the first stop, coming to Shavuos, that the Jewish people, as they march towards Sinai, they stop at Mora, where the waters were bitter. And we know, Ein Mayim El Torah, water is one of the greatest analogies to Torah. They couldn't drink the water. So one could perhaps suggest that this is a reference to the fact that the Torah was bitter, meaning they marched into Sinai, but they weren't yet on the Madrega to feel its pleasantness. So it says, Vayareo Hashem Eitz, Hashem shows him a tree, and that tree itself, according to Rashi, was bitter. He throws the tree into the water, Vayimtiko Amayim, they become sweet. So perhaps that's a mashal for all future generations that don't give up, that sometimes the initial connection to Torah is bitter. But when one perseveres, whether it's through the study of Torah or through the fostering of Torah, ultimately, it always will be sweet. And we pray in this bracha that Hashem should show us that sweetness in this world, that we should be able to sense it. The bracha continues, so some of the commentators point out, especially Nusach Sfard, it's relevant where you add in one more phrase. Why the emphasis on subsequent generations, besides the fact that, of course, we want the Torah to be with us always? So perhaps a reference to a Gemara that speaks about the fact that if three generations are zocha to be connected to Torah, and Torah study to be Talmidei Chachamim, so the Torah always returns, if you will, and seeks out its host. So we speak about our descendants, and we hope that not only should we be connected to Torah, but all of our descendants, hopefully, but a specific reference to the number three, so that Torah should always come to us. We end the bracha with the phrase, Yodei Shemecha, Lomdei Sarasecha Lishma. What does it mean to know Hashem's name? So the Eitz Yosef points out, you see it inside, very briefly, on page... on page 4, okay, on the top of page 4, the Eitz Yosef tells us, in the middle of the first line there, the top, it's numbered Nuntes, O Perusho Yodei Shemecha Behasagat Pulasecha, in comprehending your actions. Asher Hashemos Morim Alehem, the names of God indicate the actions. Al Derech Ushmi Hashem Lo Nadati Lehem. So the Eitz Yosef with those brief words, I think, is saying a very deep concept, that ultimately God is unknowable. We cannot really know Him, but what we could know is the way He acts in the world. And the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu represent those actions in the world. So we could study not the essence of God, which is unknowable, but we could study the pe'ulos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the actions of Hashem. And that is the study, if you will, of Hashkocha, of divine providence, of the ways of God, both in our world and in the upper world, some revealed in revealed sources, some in more Kabbalistic sources, if you will. And this is the notion of studying the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So perhaps we can suggest the following to elaborate on this theme. The Kesef Mishnah of Yosef Karo in his commentary, the author of Shulchan Aruch, of course, in his commentary on the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, writes that there are two subjects to Torah. A fascinating Kesef Mishnah. Classic Torah, if you will, that we normally call Torah, is the study of Hashem's commandments, the study of mitzvot, if you will, all of Shas, if you will, all of Halach, all of Shulchan Aruch, is focusing on the mitzvot themselves and the details behind the, and that define the mitzvot, all the cases and subcases and so on and so forth, how the Halacha is able to illuminate our lives in all situations. But there's another main aspect of Torah, and that is not the mitzvot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Hashem himself. And as we said, ultimately Hashem is unknowable, but Hashem's actions are knowable. So perhaps that's the depth of this brief comment of the Eitz Yosef, that in this bracha we ask Hashem not only for success and fulfilling the sweetness of learning, of will, classic Torah, Lom Dei Torah Sechel Lishma, of knowing the mitzvot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that of course includes aspects of Hashkafa as well, the mitzvot to love Hashem, to fear Hashem, these also touch upon the topic we call Hashkafa, but also to know God as much as possible for a human being to know, which is primarily expressed by knowing his actions, and that is Yod-e Shemecha, knowers, so to speak, of your name. But on an even deeper level, perhaps we can suggest another meaning of this, which I've heard many times before. I think it appears in the Nefesh HaChaim of Chaim Volozhin, and others have said this as well. Getting back to the original source of Birchas HaTorah, Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Gorel Elokeinu. When I call out the name of Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, give praise to God, from which Chazal understood that is a mitzvah. When we call out the name of God, we have to give praise to God. What does that have to do with Talmud Torah? Where does it say, Chazal say from there that when we learn, we're supposed to say a bracha? Where does it mention learning? So we mentioned briefly earlier that learning is referenced by calling out the name of God. Why is learning called calling out the name of God? So many of the Jewish scholars point out that there's a Ramban who quotes from Kabbalistic sources that we know the Torah was created before the world. Based on a pasuk in Mishlei, the Torah was the blueprint of the world. What was that Torah like? So the Medrash comments that it was black fire and white fire. But what did it say? Did it speak about Avraham Avinu? Did it speak about Yetziat Mitzrayim? In other words, was everything predetermined and not subject to free choice? So Ramban points out that all the spaces of the Torah were missing. It was only letters. One letter after another, the same letters we have, but without the spaces. And if those letters would be broken up in a different way, I forgot already, maybe the Ramban said they were broken up in that way in the ethereal Torah, then they spell out names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the original Torah wasn't with Avraham Avinu, with Sarah, with Yaakov Avinu, with Tzitzis Mitzrayim, with the Mitzvah Tzitzis, Tfilin, Shofar, Shabbos, Kashrus, the Cheta Maragon, the Cheta Egel, all of those stories and all of those mitzvos, which are true, kipshutam, but on a deeper level, all those holy, holy words, they reflect thousands and thousands and thousands of names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as I heard, using the phraseology, here's my great Rebbe, Rav Asher Schechter Shlita, that from the Baal HaTanya, actually, the first Rav Schneerson, Rav Schneerson Amor Liadi, that what does it mean? They're all names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the Torah, if you will, is the Chochmas Hashem. It's the wisdom of Hashem. So to speak, it's like an autobiography of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we pointed out that Hashem is unknowable. But Hashem wants us to know Him. He wants us to be able, so to speak, to study Him, to read His autobiography, and to connect to the ultimate good that is God. So what does He do? With His kindness, He made what the Chofetz Chaim calls a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. An allegory of an allegory of an allegory of an allegory of Torah we can understand. The names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are one, if you will, or quite a few steps closer to the ultimate understanding of what God really is, which is ultimately unknowable. That's the original Torah that was created before the world. The Torah we study, if you will, is more steps removed. But nonetheless, when we study every single aspect of Torah, however picky the details are, however seemingly not relevant to our lives aspects of Torah, they're all studying HaKadosh Baruch Hu and studying His wisdom. And with that, we are literally plugging in to the eternal good that is God Himself through His revealed wisdom. So maybe that bracha, good to start the day with a little Kabbalah, Yodei Shmecha, that we should know your name, that we realize that studying the Torah is an expression of knowing your name, and perhaps, as we saw a little bit earlier, from the Eitz Yosef and in a somewhat different context, in the Haravna, that we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may we be Zocha to see that in the dimension as well, not in this world, at least in the next world. Okay, wrapping up the last bracha, Asher Bracha Bono Mikol HaAmim Notam HaSaroso, just wanted to mention something briefly. Of course, the literal translation is chose from all the nations that gave us His Torah. So I wanted to mention Rav Sazigon's comment that I heard several times, again, from my Rebbe Rav Shechter, he has in Emunos Videos, that what we see here is we speak about the chosenness of Israel together with the fact that Hashem gave us the Torah in the same sentence. And Rav Sazigon put it this way, that ein umatenu uma ela b'torasa, that our whole definition of nationhood is through the Torah. Again, in the original context, Rav Sazigon is mentioning that in the context of the eternity of Israel, that just like the Torah is eternal, Israel is eternal, or just as Israel is eternal, so through the Torah is eternal. But this is a very, very important Ashkafic point, especially in light of recent history, that our nation is defined not just by someone with a common culture or a common history, but a common Torah. And that is, of course, the root of all of the laws of conversion, that someone can be totally in no way genetically connected to the Jewish people, but nonetheless they become part and parcel of the Jewish people, because our overarching, if you will, constitution that binds us all together as one nation is our Torah. And ultimately, connecting to that Torah is connecting to Jewish nationality. Not connecting to that Torah is, let's put it in a pleasant way, is not as of yet connecting to the full dimension of what it means to be part of Am Yisrael. And this bracha, again, very appropriately, before we engage in Torah study, reminds us that Torah study, again, besides all the other things that it does for us, it also, in a sense, very much creates the adhesion of the Jewish people. I want to just wrap up these classes with just a brief comment on women and Birch Torah specifically, on a halakhic plane. Again, those who are in Michelle's class perhaps heard this already. It's good to review, and not sure everyone was in those classes, or didn't learn it before. At first glance, if a woman's not obligated in Torah study, so why are they saying the brachos? So you could say, at least on a shkafic plane, based on what we said earlier, from Chavis Yor, but lots of the Torah, they're certainly connected to this great adventure of Torah, but on a halakhic plane, that might not necessarily be enough to obligate women to say the bracha. So the classic answers that are given are as follows. Either they're volunteering the bracha, but that, of course, would only work for the Ashkenazic tradition, that women could volunteer brachos on mitzvahs they're not obligated in. A Sephardic tradition, which women do not volunteer, so then becomes more problematic to explain why women recite Birch HaTorah. Again, I should back up a bit, whether Shulchan Aruch writes black and white that women recite Birch HaTorah. On a simple level, he's saying they're obligated. And even if you're going to say it's optional, but for the Mechaber, there is no optional thing as a bracha for the Sephardic Pesach according to the Mechaber. So the two classic answers given by the Be'er Halacha, by the Mishnah Berurah's essays, again, quoting from the Beit Yosef, the Rabbi Yosef Karo's longer commentary in the tour, is that number one, women have to recite Karbonos. That's a shocker, that they have to recite the Parashat HaTamid in order to fulfill with our mouths Unishalom HaParam Tzoseinu. Since we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, we're not bringing Karbonos, so at least have to speak about the Karbonos. So as I, sometimes when I teach this to a group of men, I say, the Chiddush number one, that men have to say Karbonos. And now we have another Chiddush that women have to say Karbonos. Quite shocking, and indeed it is very proper for both Jewish men, and some would hold as an obligation, that's what this seems to hold, and women also to recite at least part of Karbonos, and specifically the Parashas HaTamid. Furthermore, and this is a very, very important idea in terms of what we said before about women being exempt from Torah study, but as you said, it's not quite true, because as the Smak and many others point out, women are chayiv to learn halach lamaseh. They have to learn what's relevant to them. So because they do have to learn to some extent, so therefore Birchas Torah is relevant to them too. Now much needs to be said about that. This is not really a forum to discuss that. I'll just suffice with a brief comment of the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zitzal, the last Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rebbe Schneerson, the last, if you will, that halacha lemaaseh is not just, if you will, the malachas of Shabbos or the rules of kashrus or the rules of theft or which bracha you make on a potato and which bracha you make on a papaya. And the first one's easy, the second one's not. But it's also, emuna is part of halacha lemaaseh, avas Hashem is part of halacha lemaaseh, yiras Hashem is part of halacha lemaaseh. So whatever it takes for a woman to achieve those exalted mitzvot in a very intense way would be part of their required study. Again, one could analyze whether they can get it even without study, but certainly if they need study to arrive at those important mitzvot, and that becomes part of what they're obligated in. So the Maharil and others point out that since they're obligated in halacha lemaaseh, so that's why they have Birchas Torah. But it's of course difficult because karbanos, we study Torah to recite the karbanos, but they're not being recited as learning. They're being recited as a substitute carbon. And halacha lemaaseh is not being learned as Torah, it's being learned as a preparatory act for the mitzvah. So, and women are not obligated in the mitzvah of learning, they're only obligated in the, if you will, the prerequisite to be able to know what to do. So why would that necessitate a bracha if you at least would hold that a woman is not allowed to volunteer a bracha on a mitzvah they're not obligated in? So there's a very famous answer that's given by the Britzker Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Mishnah University's uncle, Rav Chaim's son, Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, known as Rav Elvel, in the name of his father, Rav Chaim, that Birchas HaTorah is different from all the other Birchas HaMitzvah. Regular Birchas HaMitzvah, you do the mitzvah, you have to introduce it with a bracha. Birchas HaTorah is that when you partake of Torah study, you have to praise Hashem for that gift. He calls it the Chesed Shel Torah, for the object of Torah. I would perhaps paraphrase, for that great experience that is learning. So it doesn't matter whether one is obligated in that learning or not obligated in learning. The bottom line is, if one is partaking in that learning, then one must praise God for that experience and cannot just, so to speak, as is an expression, can't roll out of bed and just start learning. One has to, if you will, first go through the portal of praising Hashem for that great adventure that we refer to as Torah study. And that fits very beautifully to the pasuk that Rav Elvel also quotes, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havugot Elokeinu, that when I call out the name of God, which we pointed earlier as a reference to Torah study, I have to give praise to God. So if so, even if women are not formally obligated in any given Torah that they're studying, but as long as they're learning, they must praise God before doing that. If I understood Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's words correctly, that's recorded in a sefer called Licha Shlomo, that perhaps is the root of the two other answers too. We asked, yes, a woman has to recite karbanos. Yes, a woman has to learn halacha lemaaseh. But it's not as Torah study. It's in order to be a substitute carbon. It's in order to be preparation, in order to do the mitzvah. So why would they have to say a bracha on that? And again, certainly if they're not allowed to volunteer a bracha according to the Psak of Sfardim, how could they say a bracha on that? So perhaps the answer is, what those achronim are saying, or rishonim, by giving those answers, is not explaining that that itself is Torah study, and they're obligated in that Torah study. But let me phrase that again: that they're obligated in those aspects of Torah study, and therefore they have to say a bracha. No, they're obligated to recite karbanos. They're obligated to learn halacha lemaaseh. It is Torah, even though they're not doing it as Torah study, but it is Torah. And when one learns Torah, even if one is not doing it as Torah, one must precede it with a bracha. And that might help explain, again, all the answers together in light of the Rav Elvel Soloveitchik's answer, why women recite Birchas HaTorah. Either way, that's certainly a halacha psuka, that all women recite Birchas HaTorah. Again, there are details about that, which we're not going to go into now, but that's an important halacha to keep in mind, even if one is, for whatever reason, pressed for time, and so on and so forth, they can't do a regular davening, certainly Birchas HaTorah should be recited. In any case, just to summarize what we said earlier, certainly women, and whatever their obligation or lack thereof, in terms of the scope of learning and what a woman has to learn and what they don't have to learn, but certainly they share equally, if not more, in the great adventure of Torah Hashem, both in terms of creating Torah and facilitating Torah, and in also of those aspects that they must learn in order to be able to properly fill the Dvar Hashem. And just to end with a beautiful story, before the story, according to everything we've been saying up until now, all the brachos, at least on a Shkafic plane, are certainly relevant to women. Lasok v'derei Torah, as we said earlier, from the Chavis Yoyer, to create Torah, to engage in the business of Torah, if you will. Besides opportunities nowadays to learn directly, at least on an optional level, or an obligatory level, in terms of mitzvot that are relevant to them, with the extension of the Bavitcher of the Tzal as well, in terms of Avot Hashem and Yirat Hashem. Certainly, v'harevna, that the sweetness of Torah should be equally sensed, not only by the men, but also by the women as well, in terms of their connection to Torah, not only in terms of study, but in terms of their perhaps less glamorous, if you will, certainly in our era where people without recognition, if you will, without being trumpeted on a placard, people don't really value it. But certainly that which is occurring behind closed doors of a house is certainly much, much more valuable, if not more valuable, than that which is trumpeted in the public sphere. And many, many stories of holy women who took pride in terms of elevating their families and raising their families, al derech haTorah. Just to quote one quick story about Rabbanit Margalit Yosef. Originally in their early stages of life, they were very poor. Learning didn't pay so much, if you will. So Rav Avadia was, a decade or so into his married life, maybe earlier. We quite wondrous when he was about to publish his first volume of Yabia Omer. So he was once very upset, and his wife saw that he was upset. So she asked him, what's wrong? So he said, I have my notes ready to publish my first Sefer of Responsa, the Yabia Omer, and I just don't have the funds to do it. So she said, how much do you need? He said, I need $1,500 as a down payment to the printer before I could print it. I hope that Bezrat Hashem, the Sefer will sell, and then we'll be able to, to publish others for him. So Margalit, who had been literally scratching together penny after penny or lira after lira, because they lived in a very humble apartment and they didn't even have aronot, they didn't have any closets to put clothing, if you will. In Israel, they very rarely walk-in closets. There's only cabinets. So all the children's clothes were in bags, and of course that wasn't very pleasant to live that way. And she finally put together the amount of 1,500 shekel to make her life a little easier. And when she heard her husband say that he needed 1,500 shekel, or $1,500, whatever it was, to publish the Sefer, so she said, wait 1 minute. And she went to her drawer and brought it to him and said, here, with this, your Torah should be able to spread to the world. And of course, the rest is history. Baruch Hashem, the family's fame skyrocketed. And Rav Avadia, as is well known from his writings and speeches, was eternally grateful to the support of his wife. And that quite literally, that she made him what he was in terms of fostering Torah. As we mentioned earlier, Gadol HaMa'aseh. Yosef and Osa, greater is the one who causes something to occur, rather, even more than one who actually does it. And certainly the last bracha, Avashabacha Banu, certainly the notion of the nation being chosen through Matan Torah, as we're about to approach the holiday of Shavuos, the famous words, Kol Samar Leveis Yaakov, Esagel Bnei Yisrael, the Torah was equally given both to men and to women as well. So therefore, the experience and the adventure, if you will, of reciting the Birchas HaTorah are certainly very, very relevant, not only to men, but also to women. And Baruch Hashem, Ashreinu, that Hashem has rigged it through His divine providence, that the holy Jewish women are not only able to continue their role of partnering with their husbands and their children in terms of learning, and also their eternal connection to Torah, not only in this world, but even in the next, but they're also zocha to partake of the sweetness of Torah as well, to a large extent, even in Olam Hazeh. Thank you very much.